Hey, I just want to make a quick reminder. I didn't get a chance for it. If you guys are out there and you're watching us on Facebook or you're going to listen to us later, that QR code that I mentioned, it's actually on our program, and our program we put out on Facebook. So if you forget today, go to our Facebook page and you can share. It's so good to see you. You're embarrassed now, aren't you? Didn't I embarrass you? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Last week we talked about things being hidden, and Joe just gave us a great representation of it by hiding quarters. That's not the only quarters that are hidden, by the way. I think there's about 50 of them hidden in here, and they're probably, if you look under your chairs, I'm just kidding, don't, holy cow. See, the thing about it is when something gets lost, we like these kids, we got tunnel vision, right? Single focus. Find the lost thing. If it's your cell phone, tell me nothing else in the world matters if you lose your cell phone. Nothing else in the matter. It doesn't, right? So today we're going to talk about people being lost. Can I tell you a story? That's a question. Christine Chong tells a story. She tells this story. She said there was this boss of this big, ginormous company. And one day before Memorial Weekend, the father had checked out from work. They're ready to do it, but the boss went in there and he found out he was desperate to talk to the father, to this man. And so he called home. He called the man's home. And so the phone rings. Hello? A child answers in this low whisper. And feeling kind of weird about the whole thing and kind of put off, he asks the child, he says, can I speak to your daddy? No. Well, is your daddy home? Yes. Can I speak to him? No. Well, getting frustrated because the child won't get his father, she goes on and asks, well, is your mother there? Can I speak to her? No. The more he gets frustrated, and knowing in all likelihood that this child is not home alone, he says, is there any other person that I can talk to there? Yes, there's a policeman. Well, can I speak to the policeman? No, he's busy talking to my daddy and the fireman. Out of sorts now because he can't get through to this little child. He asks, what are they doing talking to the firemen? They're just talking to mommy and daddy. And he starts getting more and more concerned, and in the background he hears the helicopter. And so he asks the child, he says, what's that noise? It's a helicopter. What is going on there? Asked the boss in just complete alarm. The little girl says, the search team just arrived on the helicopter. The boss, being more and more concerned, finally asked, why is the search team there? And the little voice came back, they're looking for me. It's a good story, right? It's funny, right? It's a funny story. But you know what? Here's the reality of things. When there are so many lost people out there that are struggling, and we talk about lost people groups all the time. And when we talk about these lost people groups and the hurting, and the humor falls away. The humor falls away. Today we're talking about Memorial Day, and Ken read a beautiful rendition of the symbolism of the missing man table. And right now, I tell you about lost people because right now there are a number of veterans in this world who are hidden away from us because of the mental sufferings that they've endured, the PTSD. Like I said last week, we were talking about hiding in plain sight. They're hiding in plain sight. If you guys will humor me, when you guys leave here today, I know most of you have got plans for Memorial Day. Would you do me one favor tomorrow when it's actually Memorial Day? Would you take a drive to a cemetery? And would you walk through the veterans, the National Cemetery part of it where the veterans are buried, and would you give thanks to those people who have given their lives for this country? And not only would you give thanks, would you pray for their families? Would you do that for me? Thank them for their sacrifice. We're going to go back into the Gospel of Luke today. As Joe talked about the parables that he talked about of the lost coin and the prodigal son, and the one that we're going to look at today is all about finding something that's lost. And how heaven rejoices when those things are found. This is one of those parables that truly talks about the importance of the one that is lost. The one person that was restored to God. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I don't have the words on the screen. But if you'll open up your Bible app, or if you'll look at it, and if you brought your Bible, or even use the ones that we've got in the pewbacks. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and this is called the Parable of the Lost Sheep. So if you'll let me pray before we get into this, we'll get rocking and rolling. Father God, Lord, we come before you today thanking you, Lord, for the lives sacrificed for this great nation. We thank you for the families, Lord, who have lost so much of what was given. But yet, Lord, to you they're not lost. To you they stand in your glory, worshiping at your feet. Lord, we know the importance of those who are not yet found by you. So, Lord, as we unpack your word today, God, will you help us? Will you help us to see those lost? Will you help us to listen to them? And Lord, will you show us, Lord, the importance of why we need to listen and look for these people? God, we thank you for Jesus who died on the cross, that he came and that through him we are found. But yet, Lord, there are so many more that don't know you, that don't know the peace and the hope and love that you can share. So God, just purge us right now, Lord. Open our hearts, let us receive the word that you have to give to us today. Lord, let your spirit fill this place so that the words come alive and they make sense to us. Even though we may have heard this story 1,000 times, Lord, let all things be new. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the lost sheep, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repeats than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I love this verse. Oh, I love this verse. Hey, there's three things that I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about, first off, about those people who listen. Those who listen. And then secondly, I want to talk about those who actually search for the lost sheep. And then finally, the joy of heaven that comes from finding the lost sheep. So let's start with those who listen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbling, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. You see, this parable is Jesus standing there talking to a group of people. He's got sinners and he's got religious folks all around him. And everybody gets to hear what he has to say. These background Pharisees and scribes, sinners, tax collectors. See, even in early Israel, people hated the IRS. They hated the tax collectors because they saw them as traitors. They took money from the Jews and then they gave it to the Romans. And then, okay, so then there's the next class, the sinners. You guys know what sinners are? Look at your neighbor and say, I know what a sinner is. Let me give you a real understanding. You guys know that sin is doing something more than just something that displeases God, right? Right? You guys tracking with me right here on this? Do you know that sin truly is an alienation from God? That's the big one, that we become alienated from God. The prophets used to think sin, the prophets thought of sin in this way. Listen, they knew it was more than just a taboo or a broken ordinance. They believed it was a rupture of the personal relationship God and a betrayal of the trust that he had given us. And that's harsh. That's harsh. A betrayal. Paul, the Apostle Paul, goes on and he talks about the debilitating state of an enmity with God. You guys have heard that word a lot, right? You know what it means? It means hatred. It doesn't sound so bad when you say enmity, but when you put it into the language that we understand, it's hatred, it's hostility, it's animosity. You guys seeing the picture now on what sin is? But here again, in 2022, we've reinvented sin, right? It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Yet John tells us this. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But isn't it comforting to know that Jesus came to the world to find us? Isn't it comforting to know that folks like us can be saved by people like him? This whole thing about sin has created a schism, a breach, in my opinion, and this time I know I'm right. Just look it up in the first book of opinions. That there has been a break between what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a follower of Christ. See, folks don't perceive Christian individuals, churches, or other religious institutions, they don't perceive us anymore as loving, patient, kind. Instead, they see us as hypocrites. They see us as being envious and boastful and arrogant and rude. I truly believe that Jesus' credibility has been marred by the hypocrisy of today's faith. Furthermore, his namesake religion, Christianity, his namesake religion, has been castigated and rebuked. It makes it that much harder. Pretty depressing, right? But how do we fix it? How do we fix this? That was a question. Answers? All right, I got this one. I got this one. How do we fix it? We have to become those that listen. You see, Luke places a lot of emphasis on listening when he's talking about Jesus in the parables. Like 17 times in his gospel, he talks about listening to the Lord. And see, we have to become like those tax collectors and those sinners that come to hear the words of Jesus, to listen to the words of salvation, to hear the truth of God's love for us and for all mankind. We need to believe that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Heck yeah. The church, you and me, we need to hear and we need to act upon. See, once we hear Jesus, we need to then choose to listen for others, because when we listen to Jesus and he gets us in the right mind where we start to listen to others, we can hear and then we can tell of God's great love for them. Each and every one of us can be the wellspring that gives forth the living water to a parched and thirsty people who are drinking from a desert of desperation. So many people are still trying to drink from the mirage of the world. So, but first, before we can tell, we have to choose to listen. I mean, it's good that we listen, but then we wait for them to come to us. We wait for them to come to us. Where's Ernie at? If we open those doors, swing them wide open, the outside doors, swing them wide open, the back doors, the side doors, there is not a line of people waiting to come in. They're not. So we need to go and search for them. Jesus said he told this parable in verses 15, 3 and 4. He says, so he told this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, when he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? You guys know that sheep were a big deal back then, right? They were a big deal. It wasn't like they had a bunch of jobs that they could go to. You were either a farmer, a craftsperson, or a religious leader, or the poor. You kind of fell in one of those categories. So sheep were a pretty big deal. To lose one, a pretty big deal. Deuteronomy, God put so much emphasis on sheep that he says, if a brother loses a sheep and you find it, you are to take it back to him. And if you don't know whose sheep it is, you're supposed to take care of it until somebody comes and claims it. It was, sheep were a big deal. My wife and I used to raise chickens. She would name them. I was like, girl, they're like crops. They're like crops. You raise them, they produce, you harvest. Huh? She was coyote food. Today, sheep are the same way. You raise them, you take the harvest from the wool, and then you harvest them. Jesus often spoke of sheep and their importance. I want to read you something from the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read from chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of the clouds and the thick darkness. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and strong I will destroy. Them I will feed them in justice." And so he sent Jesus to search for the lost sheep. I gotta confess something to you. Valerie and I lost Daniel more than once. I think like three times, huh? Like three times. But there was one time. It was a place called Common Ground. Big, enormously beautiful park in Lakeland, Florida. They had climby things, man, that went 30 feet in the air, and slides and tunnels and hills. And they had something over here, and they had something over here, and they had something over here. So when Valerie and I would go into these things, we would split up. Literally, you got that side of the park, I got this side of the park. And we would always try to keep at least one eye on the other person and on Daniel. And then it happened. She went one way. I went that way. And Daniel was gone. And panic set in. I have never been so afraid. When we couldn't find my son. We had desperation. Remember that? Remember how hard it was? Remember how scared we were? We searched for like 15 minutes from one side of that park to the other, running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and across and looking and nothing. And then out of nowhere, my little toe head popped up. Talk about rejoicing. Talk about rejoicing. We grabbed him. We held on to him. We held on to each other. We sat there and praised God for him being protected when he was out of our sight. Can I tell you that I think God feels the same way about us? I think he feels the exact same way about us. That when we're lost, he loves us so much that he desperately is in panic searching for us in the same way that Valerie and I searched for Daniel that day, except yet his search and his love is way more intense than Valerie and I could even ever think about pouring out on Daniel. He doesn't look at us in the same way that when I'm looking for a socket in my toolbox and I'm just like, well, I'll just go buy another one. He doesn't look at us like I look in the refrigerator and I can't find the mayo, so I head to the store and buy another jar. He doesn't look at us that way, people. He says, Jesus says this in John 10:16, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. He says this, "I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold, but I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." I look around at churches that I've been throughout my career, and the churches and this church here, and I know that we've had people who left this church, people that we love, people that we miss. And maybe some of them have gone on to other houses of worship. Maybe others have been so hurt so deeply they've abandoned their faith altogether. But only temporarily. And yet there are still others who have never known the love of a church family. You see, because they may not believe in this whole Jesus thing, and they may not believe in this whole what Jesus can do for them, and so they suffer and they struggle. Do we think they're not worth searching out? Are they not worthy of our love? Are they not worthy of our effort to go and find them? To tell them of God's mighty love and his grace and his mercy, and that God has been pursuing them from the beginning, like with the intensity of a child who has been stolen by the world. See, that's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? That's who you guys see Jesus as? See, that's my Jesus, and that's what Jesus does, but he has to use us to do it. So I want to ask something. And I want you guys to, if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. Who's your one? Who's your one? Who's the one person? The one sheep that you're searching for. The one that you're pursuing. Do you have somebody like that? No? Ask God. Ask God to give you one name, to reveal one person, and then begin praying for them. Begin praying for them. Ask them, find them. Ask them how you can pray for them. Find out their needs. Listen and help. Tell them. Tell them why God has laid them on your heart. Tell them of God's great love for them and his relentless pursuit. And that he, through the Holy Spirit, you're mine. I'm supposed to love you and take care of and do everything I can to take care of your needs. And look what happens. The last thing talks about the joy of heaven. Verses 15, 5 through 7, it says, and when he has found it, he laid the sheep on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors and says, look at me, I found him. I found the sheep that was lost. And this is just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Every time I always wonder, who in their right mind would leave 99 of anything to find one? If I got 99 and something, I'm good. That was the attitude of the Pharisees. Hey, man, we're good. We got all these people. We don't need that over there. Ladies, how many of y'all bake? How many of you are good at it? Let's see who's real. How many of y'all have a drawer full of cookie cutters or a bag? Huh? You know everything that's in that bag? You do? You ever lost one? What'd you do? Yeah, you went and bought another one. Heck yeah, you did. That's what we do. Or if you were making rounds, right, you use the jar out of a mason. You find something else. You know what? don't tell anybody, but one of the cookies that I made at another church, I used a paint can lid. Shh. I didn't have a circle big enough, so I used the lid off a spray can. I washed it. When God thinks about sheep, and he thinks about us, he's always looking to gather in his flock. I think the one of the things that we've become disconnected with is we are really starting to see people out there as like crops. There's no need. They're going to do what they're going to do. There'll be another one coming along in a few minutes. But what if we looked at them? What if we looked at when we leave this church today and we're going to all these different events and we go to these different things and we started looking at people with the same intensity that God looked at them? Look around. Every chair in here that doesn't have a bottom in it represents somebody. Every chair in this balcony and in this lower sanctuary and in our overflow area, it represents a person. It represents a person who was here at one time and is no longer with us, but we would love to have back. It represents a person that has never been here. And it represents a person that is yet to be here. When we start looking at things through a different lens, it changes our perspective. You see, these chairs, there are those who are part of the body of Christ and those who are yet to be a part of the body of Christ. You guys remember the story of Zacchaeus? Huh? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. What? For the Lord he wanted to see. You guys are no help today. You guys are all thinking about brats and burgers, aren't you? Zacchaeus, a sinner, a tax collector, did nothing but climb up a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. I have a golden retriever now who loves to push open a door when nobody's looking. Leave it cracked and he's... You guys ever lost a dog, pet, animal? Huh? How many of you drove around that neighborhood? Huh? How many drove around the neighborhood with the window down, hollering out the name, listening? Got somebody in the car with you? Shh. Panic, right? Panic, fear. You start grieving, man, because you've jumped to the conclusion that this dog is never coming back. It's dead. You're going to find it on the side of the road. You're just, ah. Remember the joy? You find it, right? Please tell me you found your dogs. Otherwise, this is not going to work. You find a dog, man, or it comes home on its own, and man, life is grand again, man. You hug it, and you're like, oh. Think of that right there, that moment, if you've ever experienced that moment. Think about that being magnified infinitely by the angels in heaven over one sinner who repents. One sinner. And those feelings amplified infinitely. Jesus said he came to save the world. He saved the lost by his death, burial, and resurrection, and our repentance of sin. Our acceptance of him that allows us to be saved. Amen. Think about, I want you guys for just a moment, think about how God rejoiced when every one of you gave your life to Christ. I'm sure he dances a lot better than I do. I got anything to throw? I'm going to have to start. Joe, at the staff meeting on Tuesday, will you remind me to put stuff up here? I can throw it to congregation. Think about how God just rejoiced for everyone who repents and returns to him. The Bible tells us in this story of this part, right in this part about the loss, he talks about the prodigal son. And in that prodigal son parable, there's two things that are mentioned in here. There's one by the father, and the father says, "For this is my son. He was lost and is found." The other one comes as the father's talking. He says, "This is your brother. This is your brother. He is lost and he is found." You see, this is the joy that happens in heaven when one sinner repents. I got to start landing this airplane, man. I have gone way too long, and I know you guys have got hams in the oven. So who's your one? Who's your one? Maybe you have many, but let's just start with one. Let's start with the one person that your heart hurts over. Maybe they once came here, and you would like to see them come back to church. Who is the one person that has walked away from the faith because maybe they got hurt by the church or a pastor or a church member? Who's the one? Who's the one that you will be willing to put all your emphasis in? Think about that. Then search for that which is lost. Search for your friends. Search for your family members. Search for your coworker. And then maybe, maybe we need to start searching within ourselves first. You see, the Bible does promise us a hope and a future. Tony, we're gonna start winding this up. Oh, I got John. I got. You? That's awesome. Get dressed. Listen. As we close today, and we're going to enter into this time of response, John and Pam, Pam, Peg, what's your name? Yeah, that. And these ladies over here, they're going to lead you in time of worship. But I want to read two more verses to you, and then I want to ask you things. It says, we all know Jeremiah, right? Yeah. For God, I know the plans I have for you. Plan for hope and future. Plan not to harm you. Right. The verses that follow up with that, he says, then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you, because you will seek me, then you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. See, God asks us to listen for them that hurt. What we didn't talk about, maybe those hurting are us. It's you, maybe it's me, maybe it's us. Maybe it's somebody in here today that's hurting, that's struggling. And maybe you're the one person that's struggling right now and trying to figure out all this Jesus stuff. Maybe struggling to find joy or peace. just looking for something in the midst of all this chaos. God asks us to listen to him. Listen to his words. Listen to the words that they're going to sing. Listen to the words of comfort and promise. And I want you to just take this time during this time of response and search for Jesus. You see, this whole thing is also, is as much as it is about the lost and those hurting, it's as much a reminder for us that we too need to search for Jesus. Especially when sometimes Jesus feels so distant to us and so far away from us. And he sometimes feels lost and out of reach. During this time of response, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, take this time to do it now, because Jesus has been pursuing you. I want you to take this time and listen for his voice. He's calling for us. And he's searching for us.